So I'm going to take a swig of water from time to time. Debbie brought this up to me last week, and so I wanted to bring it up in case somebody and others were maybe thinking about this. Remember I said, I talked about how in 1 John 2, we're just going to deal with one verse this morning, 1 John 2:17. Excuse me. How we should be love slaves for Christ. How he wants us to be. You know, that and the reason Debbie brought that up, others might have been thinking about that too. That could be taken in a wrong way, right? You know, people might think of that in a kind of a risque way, so to speak. But what I mean by that is, again, it goes back to, if you look at, let's see if I find my first notes here. And of course, I don't have it. Back in the Old Testament, maybe it's chair. The Old Testament passage I referenced. Let's see if I can find it here. Four. Might know it might be, don't have the one I want. Anyway, it's in the Old Testament. I don't have it off right offhand. It's in Deuteronomy, where. What's that? Deuteronomy 15, yeah. 12, 15, something like that, around there. Where the slave, remember me mentioning that? Where the slave, if the slave wanted to be a slave for life, he loved his master that much, that he would go to the master and the master would pierce his ears with an awl and he put a ring in his ears. There was actually people like that. They did that. What's that?
It's Deuteronomy 15, 16 through 18.
15, 16 through 18?
Yeah.
So I meant, it's in the Word, so I would imagine that there were actually people who did that. But just like that, as I said, we should want to be ear pierced for Jesus. It's showing forth that we love him ultimately. And love slave, what I mean by that, is that we have to see ourselves as Christians. We have been bought with a price. We've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Now, if we have been bought, and that's what Paul tells us, if we have been bought with a price, who do we belong to? Do we belong to the world? Do we belong to others? Do we belong to ourselves? No. We belong to him. So what that means is he has purchased us with his blood. In essence, just like what Paul taught in the book of Romans, as we saw, we are slaves of Christ. We are servants of Christ. And in essence, slaves. Not because we are coerced to be, but because we are willingly so. We desire to be. We want to be. We want to be like that servant or slave that, who loved his master so much, he went to his master and said, "Master, pierce my ears. I'm yours for life." We realize that that's what we do when we become a Christian. We are telling Christ, "Lord, I no longer want to be my own. I want you. That's what we're saying to him. I want you to own me. I want to be your servant. I want to be your slave. But I'm not being forced into it. I'm willingly doing it. When we become Christian, that's what we're saying to him. And so that's what he wants. Maybe instead of saying love slave, you could say, because there's so many maybe negative or risque connotations to that, we could say that he wants us to be servants of love or slaves of love. Because remember what Jesus said. He told his disciples, the apostles, a new commandment I give you. That you what? That you love one another as I have loved you. And we look at the example that Jesus gave us and how he loved us. And somebody would say, well, he said that to the apostles, not saying that to us. Well, there are some things that were meant for only the apostles, such as what's found in John 14 and John 16. I think it's John 16, where Jesus said, and I will send the Spirit, the Comforter, the Parakletos, the one who comes alongside you. And he will come alongside you, and he will bring to your remembrance everything that I have taught you. And other things as well. See, that's not meant for us. That was only meant for the apostles. If it was meant for us, you see, we should be able to tell one another, hey, you know what Jesus, you know what Jesus taught me? You know what he brought me to remembrance? You know, because I was there. No, that wasn't meant for us. That was only meant for the apostles. But when he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, he meant that to be carried on. He meant that to be taught. Many of the things that what we find in the Word, Jesus wanted his apostles to teach. That's why the church is built upon the foundation of what? The foundation of the prophets and the foundation of the apostles, of what they taught. Because Jesus gave it to them. See? And that's what he said in the Great Commission. I've given you. All authority is mine. And here's what I'm telling you to do. As you are going, because of a past perfect participle there. As you are going, make disciples. Make followers of me. And you make disciples by immersing them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. Teaching them. He said, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Get that? And lo, I'm with you until the end of the age. That means till the end of the world order, until the end of space-time, until the time when the Heavenly Father tells the Son, hey, Son, it's time. Space-time done with. Until that time. That's what he says. Teach them what I have commanded you. And one of those commands was, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, that brings us to 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away and its desires. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. I think that what that means is that as being slaves or servants of Christ, Do we understand? Do we realize that that leads to joy? It leads to joy because the world is passing away. But as it leads to joy, let me ask you, does that mean that leading to joy, does that mean it's easy? Did he ever said it would be easy? No. It's not a bed of roses. Because along with the roses, you also have what? You also have the thorns. I've been pricked by some of those thorns. I tell you, they hurt. But just like that, you see. But it comes down to this. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world's passing away. And its desires. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, encompassed within that new commandment that he gave, there's two supreme commands. And what are they? Jesus told us what they were. Love Yahweh. Love God with what? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. What does that mean? Means holistically. It means with our total, complete being. Every aspect of us is to encompass that love. That's what that means. To love God that much. And then the second. As we find in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Jesus said what? Love your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment he gave is wrapped up in that. In a nutshell. Well, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? What's that?
Through your actions and behaviors.
Through your actions and behavior and what we do. Right. Because someone came to Jesus and asked him about that, didn't they? Well, you know, he said that, and then somebody piped up. Imagine it's probably one of those religious leaders piped up. Well, who's my neighbor? And then what Jesus proceeded to do? He proceeded to tell him a parable, didn't he? What we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at the end of it, the religious leaders didn't like the end of that. They couldn't even bring themselves to say that the one that was the neighbor, the loving one, and the one who showed mercy, they couldn't even bring themselves to say he was a Samaritan. Read the text. They couldn't even bring themselves to say that. What'd they say? Ah, the one who showed mercy. Jesus knew that they couldn't even bring themselves to say Samaritan. They disliked him that much. But then Jesus said, okay, I told you. Now you go and do likewise. But they didn't like that again because it had to do with the Samaritan. But there's a lesson within that, you see, for us. And that's all wrapped up in that new commandment that Jesus did. We must give ourselves totally, holistically, with all of our being to Him, to the Lord. And that can be rather painful. It was for Jesus, wasn't it? Wasn't it painful for Jesus? What does Paul tell us in Philippians chapter 2? That God's Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, He renounced His rights as God's Son. That's what He said. He gave Himself up. He left all that behind, come to earth, to become the Word incarnate. And as I've said so many times before, brothers and sisters, Jesus did not have to die. But He did, didn't He? But He died willingly. He chose to do so. As the Scriptures teach. It's what it says in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "No man takes my life. Nada, zip, none. No man takes my life." He said, "I lay it down." He said, "That has been given to me by the Father. My choice." So He didn't have to die, but He chose to. And He did it willingly. He had the authority to take His life up again and not die. He had the authority to. That's why He said, "Do you not know I could call 10 legions of angels, over 10,000 angels, and they come?" Of course, if they did, a whole lot of people wouldn't be there, would they? There's going to come a time when He's going to be bringing more than 10,000 angels. Let me tell you, that's what the Scriptures say. And I don't think that's going to be a pretty sight for those who are not in Christ. I firmly believe that. Jesus gave up willingly the fact and was painful for Him, I do believe, to a fair trial. It's just like Tony said, and I preached this. What was that? And I preached this before. They did everything illegally. The Lord's trial was what? The Lord's trial was at night. Did they call any witnesses? Well, yeah, they did. But any credible witnesses? None. Did they allow Jesus to defend Himself? No. Nothing about that trial was legal. It was done in the middle of the night. That wasn't legal. But He could have called down the armies of heaven, but instead, He prayed, "Not my will, but Your will be done." That, brothers and sisters, read verse 17. "The world is passing away and also its desires, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." That, my brothers and sisters, is dying to self. That's why Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily." So what was the result? Calvary was the result. Why did He do it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is the answer. One of them. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy, see why this leads to joy? Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Excuse me. Why did he do it? L-O-V-E. Love. He loved God's creation so much, that much. They gave his life. He loved you and I that much. Everybody. Past, present, future. That he did that. Love. So let me ask you this. Is your covenant with Jesus so precious and meaningful you'll give up everything for it? The world's passing away and its desire. Willing to give that up. See, willing is the key. Example of that, the parable that Jesus told about the man who found a pearl. Matthew 13, remember that? Man found a pearl in the field, and what did he do? He buried it up again. And then he went and sold what? He sold all he had so he could get that, so he could have that. Then he went back and got it. Right? I might perhaps be confusing my parables. Then, anyways, in Matthew 13... I can find it here. That's a hidden treasure. The costly pearl. Both of them fall into that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it, that one pearl. And the hidden treasure of the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. He was willing to do all of that to have that. See, that's willing is the key. Are we willing to do that? That's what we have to ask people. I read this book once about from... called The Open Church, about Juan Carlos Ortiz, a missionary in Argentina. And he said in Argentina, they would use a different phrase when they would immerse someone into Christ, when they would baptize them. You know what they would say? You know, think this is odd. But what they would say is this: I kill you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That gets the point across, doesn't it? It's rather odd, but it gets the point across, doesn't it? Why? Because when we're immersed into Christ, that's what we're supposed to do. We die to self, and we arise in newness of life. We arise new creations. Someone might be rather strange, but it does get the point across. For you see, it comes down to this. If we refuse to die, and we refuse to die to the world, then Jesus cannot really be Lord. Because what did he say? How many masters can we serve? Numbers? Two? My steward said, one. We can only serve one master. I'll close with this. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. And in that book, a man approaches heaven, but as he approaches heaven, the odd thing is he has a lizard on his shoulder. He has a reptile on his shoulder. And he gets to the gates of heaven. with that lizard on his shoulder. Now, the lizard represents sins that still have a hold on him. So an angel stopped him and tells him he cannot enter heaven unless he lets the angel kill the lizard. The man thought that was kind of drastic. Why? The man thought, and he tells the angel that, he said, well, I don't think that lizard's all that bad. But he's also afraid that it would hurt to have the lizard removed, that is, killed. So the angel told him. The angel agreed that it would hurt, but it was necessary. And after much talking, the man finally agrees. And with a cry of pain, the lizard is torn away and thrown to the ground. And the man, read the C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. Wonderful thing. Not his imagination. The man suddenly grows into a beautiful, shining being. Into a beautiful, shining being. And the lizard grows to become the greatest white stallion ever seen. The man realizes that now, instead of having a lizard on his shoulder, now he may ride this beautiful and wondrous white stallion, because it no longer controls him. And with the greatest joy, what C.S. Lewis depicts is that man mounts the stallion. He mounts that white stallion and he rides off into the hills of heaven. See, that's what happens, metaphorically, to those of us who follow Christ, who are in love with Christ, who are following His command. We lower ourselves, and God lifts us up. What it means is we throw the old man down, or we throw the old woman down, the old child down, and God recreates us. And He gives us life back in another form. How does that happen? Why, what Paul says in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we have to have the mindset, the attitude of Christ. Because of that, we realize that because of that, God exalted Him. And do we understand that from reading this, is that God promises to do the same for us? But here's where people have it wrong today. If they are living, and if we're living just for the exaltation, we got it all backwards. And they've got it all backwards. Because the exalting of ourselves isn't anything we deserve. And many people today, they want to follow Him and they want to follow Christ, but guess what? They want God to look at them, don't they? They want to be exalted. That's why I said last week that people who believe, believe that whenever they meet the Almighty, they're going to tell Him a thing or two. I think that He thinks that's not going to happen. I think they're going to be tongue-tied, don't you? They're going to be in such awe. That's why Jesus gave that example of the Good Samaritan. We are just like that. You see, when people need to understand that they can give all that they have to the poor, They can have perfect attendance for years. We can have missionaries and guests in our home. We can win people to Christ. Maybe even all of our friends to Christ. And when we reach the point where we are doing everything Christ demanded, then guess what? If we think that's all it's about, then we can claim the title of unworthy servant. Get that? Why unworthy? Because we have only done what was demanded and expected. We had not gone beyond the call of duty. You see, simply doing Christian stuff and hoping that in return, selfish desires will be met. You see, that won't cut it. People who believe that haven't even scratched the surface of obedience yet. For you see, that's all wrong. Our desires are met, what John says here. The one who does the will of God lives forever. You see. And our desires are met when we kill the world, when we kill its desires within us. And it's only when we cease to satisfy self and start serving Him unselfishly that we'll find joy. And it will lead to joy. It is when we reach the point in our following Him where we no longer desire self, we no longer desire to build our own kingdom, and we commit all of our being to building His kingdom. So then what does He do? He gives everything back to you. And more. That's what the Scriptures teach. But we have to remember, we are His stewards. What He has given us is His. But you know what? And I promise this time I will close with this. We don't follow Him. And this is where people, I believe, have gotten things wrong. We do not follow Christ because He promised us things. Exactly. You know what? Even if Christ didn't promise joy, I'd still follow Him. Why? Even if He didn't promise us all everything, which He doesn't, but even if He didn't promise all the things that we need, would you still follow Him? I would. Why? Because He died on Calvary. For you and me. See, now, brothers and sisters, love like that demands a response, regardless of any reward. When we stand up in the presence of God, of His love, our only logical response is, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours." That's what it should be. So ask yourself, may we ask others, do you have holes in your ears? I don't mean that literally. You know what I mean. See? We need to ask ourselves that every day. Let's stand, we're going to sing. They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's what it's all wrapped up about.